You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Former Patriot wide receiver Danny Amendola was on First Things First on Fox Sports 1 yesterday morning, and he was asked about the Patriot way, and the former wide receiver had this to say.
When you see Patriot way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. None of those coaches made any tackles. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
All righty. Sounds like a smooth segue to bring in Matt Leitch. Spent a decade there with the Patriots, won 3 Super Bowls there, founder of the Leitch Foundation, and Matt kind enough to join us. What did you make of Amendola's comments there, Matt?
I mean, it kind of sounded a little bit like an angry elf, right? One of those South Pole elves, you know? Maybe he was trying to make a point there about something, and seems to be working. You know, look, when I was there, you know, my 11 seasons with Bill, you know, it was a roller coaster of emotions. There were days where you didn't want to hear it from Bill. You didn't want to hear the early morning, all right, look, you guys are terrible. We're never going to win a game if you guys keep playing like this. This is the worst football I've ever seen. Here, let's watch Light 700 times screwing up a block. You know, like, it gets old. And by the way, it can get really personal, especially when you mix in contract talk, right? And the fact that guys do give up, you know, the ability to potentially go make more money elsewhere. So is it personal with him at this point right now? Sure seems like it, but I think there's some truth in what he says, though. You know, to me, if somebody asked me who embodies and who is the face of the Patriot way, kind of hard to argue the point that it's Tom Brady.
Take me back to the decision when Belichick decided to stay with Brady even when Drew Bledsoe came back from that injury. So 2001, you've just paid Drew. He's one of the highest paid players in the game, and you got a guy you're not quite sure how good he is, and Brady's won a few games, and then he decides to stay with him. As a teammate and somebody blocking for these quarterbacks, what did you think of that move at the time?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, okay, we had the Mo Lewis hit heard around the world. You know, we have the $100 million man, you know, largest contract, I think, at the time in NFL history. And we had the backup to the backup, right? I mean, Tommy wasn't number two in camp. He was number three. I think it was Michael Bishop. And I don't know, I've been hit a lot. But, you know, so, you know, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting point in time. I can remember, though, in that season, we were on the road playing in Washington. And we almost came back in the fourth quarter to win a road game that at the time, it was still kind of unknown. Can he do it? Can he not do it? You know, when's Drew going to be back? But even though we didn't win that game on the road, everybody felt, you know, that Tommy had what it was going to take after that game. And then you fast forward to the AFC Championship game and he leaves with an injury, comes, you know, Drew Bledsoe comes back in. He's throwing darts down the sideline. And then we're going to the Super Bowl with no week in between. I mean, it was chaos. But, you know, look, as weird as that situation was, it was really clear that Tom Brady was the leader.
But be honest, after the AFC title game, Bledsoe comes in throwing darts. You guys win, you're going to the Super Bowl. If I would ask you then, who do you want to start that Super Bowl, who would you have picked?
You know, honestly, you kind of had to go. I mean, I felt terrible for the situation for Drew Bledsoe. I mean, here we are going to a Super Bowl. This guy's put in so much work in the National Football League and comes back in for that, you know, AFC Championship game and picks up right where he left off. But even with that said, as much as I love Drew Bledsoe, you know, I really felt like Tommy earned the right to have that opportunity at that point.
But he didn't throw any touchdowns in the playoffs. Leading up to the Super Bowl, he didn't throw a touchdown pass.
It's a stat that I didn't know. I mean, you wouldn't know that if you were in our locker room, right? And by the way, you're talking to an offensive lineman. I mean, you know, just point me in the right direction, coach. You know, wind me up and let me go.
But how much credit do you give Belichick? Belichick doesn't get credit for making this move, right? I mean, as much as we can say, well, who's more responsible for the Patriots' success, Belichick or Brady? Belichick made the ultimate decision to start Tom Brady over Drew Bledsoe. I mean, he's got to get credit for that.
Yeah, and what a huge point, too. I mean, you look at the previous season or two, right? And, you know, the lack of kind of people buying into the Patriot way and what it meant, and the idea that, you know, we're going to sacrifice a lot more than just what some other teams were doing and how they prepared. Because when you come to New England, you give up quite a bit, you know, especially kind of, you know, who you are in some ways. Everything gets muted for the benefit of the overall organization. But, yeah, I mean, look, Bills made some unbelievably tough calls that, you know, seemed kind of uncharacteristic for a head coach to make. I mean, I think about, you know, that season in 2002, I think it was. It was the following year after we won the Super Bowl. Lawyer Malloy gets shipped down to, you know,
Buffalo,
the desert, right? And, you know, he was the best, one of our leaders. I mean, clearly one of our leaders and one of the guys that everybody looked to. I mean, that blew my mind. So, you know, you never knew what to expect. But at the end of the day, you know, what we did know is that Bill talked a lot about the decisions he makes are what's in the best interest of the team. And I know that that's something that coaches say, but I truly believe that that's what Bill and his entire staff do, even though it seems strange at times.
How much of a role did Belichick have in your tenure there with the Patriots with the offense?
You know, it's an interesting question because, you know, we had really strong people that were coaching the offensive side of the ball, right? Like I look back and, you know, Charlie Weiss, you know, he was going to tell coach what he wanted to do and why he thought that was the way to go. And there's always struggles on a coaching staff, right? The offensive line coach is pushing for more pass plays. The quarterback, especially Tom Brady, and the quarterback coaches are all looking for different ways to, you know, get fancy and cute with the ball. And so there's a struggle on play calls and how we open and who's really the offensive coordinator on some staffs. But Bill, you know, to answer your question, Bill Belichick had a lot to do with our offense. Okay. You know, everybody talks about him as a defensive coach, but, you know, Bill really understands, you know, not just the scheme, but how the other side is going to look at, you know, defending against what you do best, right? And Bill's a big proponent of, hey, here's the three things that we have to do. That's what we did before every matchup. Here's what we have to do offensively. Here's what we have to do on the defensive side of the ball, and here's what we have to do on special teams. And there'd be 3 points to each week as we prepared. So, you know, he knew as much on the offensive side as he certainly did on the defensive side.
Who do you think is most responsible for what happened in those two decades in New England?
I mean, look, I think if anybody looks at this season and tries to – make a comparison at this point in time.
How about this, Matt? How about this? You can have Belichick as your coach or Brady as your quarterback. This is your rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go with Bill Belichick for a lot of reasons, right? Can he win without Tom Brady? Yeah, I think he can. I mean, we did it in 2008, right? If you want a case study to look at, you know, we had a guy in Matt Castle, you know, who filled in, did a great job. Same coach, same Bill Belichick, right? So I don't look at what happened this season and try to compare it in the realm of who's more important, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. Look, those are two of the most dynamic people to play in the game, right?
But you think you could have won Super Bowls with Bledsoe?
Yeah, I think we could have for sure.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put either one of those guys down, right? I mean, but it is a system, right? New England is a system kind of scheme. I mean, it always has been, always will be with Bill Belichick as the head coach.
But Tom's the system, though. He's a system unto himself, isn't he?
He is now.
Okay.
And look, he has been for a long time. So, you know, look, there's no surprise that Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl, right? The fact that he went to Tampa kind of shocked me. You know, there's a lot of things that I found interesting. I didn't think that, you know, I wasn't somebody that said, hey, just because Tom Brady's in Tampa, they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but it's not a surprise.
Did you ever have a drink with Belichick?
I've been drinking around him. I'm not sure you knew that. I saw him. I remember when the transition happened and he went from like only football and everything in football to then the Bill Belichick that we kind of know now today, that will maybe go down to the islands and enjoy a little bit more golf. So I've seen him relax and cut loose.
Do you have a Belichick story that I haven't heard?
I've got a vault,
my friend.
Well,
can't get in trouble now, Matt.
Oh, listen.
You just looked over your shoulder when I asked you that question as if there was somebody there going, Matt, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like PR stuff.
My wife was worried that I was going to get fired or let go every week. Every week, because I was always up to something that was no good.
All right, give me a Belichick story.
All right, so there was a time, and I've told this before, but this is a great one. There was a time we're at the Pro Bowl, and we had one of my teammates that was there as well, and he came as an alternate. And I told him while he was hanging out with a lot of guys that were more tenured than he, that when you're at the Pro Bowl, you don't pay for drinks. And especially if your coaching staff is there. I said, hey, look, here's Bill's room. And I made it a point to get Bill's room number. And I said, just fill it out, put his room number on there, and sign his name. So I thought it would be funny. I didn't think he would actually do it. But, hey, we're just having fun, a little conversation. Well, about 5 hours later, and after he'd been hanging out with all the old-timers who were already putting all their drinks on his bill anyway, which he didn't know. You know, the young bucks never figured that out until it's too late. I see him walking from one side of the pool area to the other to hand Bill the check card. It's in his hand. And I'm the only person in the whole area that knew what was happening. So I remember I grab one of my teammates. I'm like, bro, you've got to see this. You have no idea what's about to happen, but it's going to get weird. And he walks up. He's like, I appreciate you, Bill. I appreciate you. And Bill has no idea what he's talking about, but he did sign it and he did pay for it.
Brady was a pretty good beer chugger, right?
One of the best, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Ross Tucker said that he was up there.
Yeah, you won't see any evidence of that. I think that stopped many years ago, about the time the whole TB12 method came out. Apparently water saves you from getting a burn more than alcohol. So
what if we were doing shots of kale? Do you think that he would be great at chugging kale?
Just stay away from strawberries and everything else is okay.
But he wasn't different or strange when you were there.
No, I mean, look, he's always had his method. I mean, from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, before he was ever the starter, when I got to New England, the only person I knew in the New England region was a guy named Dave Nugent, who I went to Purdue with and was a roommate and came in with the class the year before with Tom Brady. So, you know, I got to see Tommy, you know, as the guy driving the yellow Jeep that was given to him by the dealer that wasn't the starter. But even then, you know, the guy always had a method to everything he did and was always trying to do it at a very high level.
But what happens when he shows up with Giselle? Were you still there when Giselle makes her first appearance, or you find out Brady is dating Giselle?
Yeah. I was there when they were married. I mean, it was, there were some other interesting moments before that too, that, you know, we poked fun at, but yeah, I mean, we saw the whole transformation
and the clothes and just everything about him. He had a makeover, right?
Well, now you're going to force me to do this. Okay. So imagine this for me, Dan. Okay. I'm an offensive lineman. I roll out of bed at 6 a.m. We have a team meeting at 7 a.m. every single day. If you're late, you're probably going to be fired. And we've actually seen evidence of that in the form of a running back, right? So you're not going to be late. But when I roll out of bed as an offensive lineman, fat, sweaty, sloppy, I don't do anything other than just put on whatever was laying next to my bed. I walk into the facility. I drop all that stuff, put on my workout stuff, and I walk into the meeting, right? Let me contrast that with a Tom Brady. When Tom Brady walks in, and on this particular day, he comes in with the skinny jeans that taper all the way to a very tight point, with the designer boots that were made by Tom Ford, custom designed, you know, unbelievable leather, the whole nine, polished to the nth degree. On the upper half of him, he's wearing a cardigan. I'm talking straight out of like Mr. Rogers' cardigan. And this cardigan has a giant lapel. It's got wool knitted by some Sherpa in the Himalayas. It has hand-carved buttons the size of, like, my hand that are really cool looking. And I'm kind of angry that this is what I see walking in. So I bust his chops all the time. And on this particular day, I decided it was a good opportunity for me to go to his locker while he was working on becoming a better player and studying plays. And I put on his so-called Sherpa cardigan, and I went and I worked out in it. Now, the fun part is that the only thing I put on was the cardigan. Literally the only thing I put on. So when he was driving home to his beautiful place in Boston, where I knew he wasn't going to be able to get away from the ickiness of me sending a picture of working out in that cardigan, I took a lot of joy in that.
Did he keep it?
I think he'd probably burn it on the side of 93 going to Boston.
Oh, it's great to touch base with you again, Matt. Hope you're doing well, and the Light Foundation as well. Thanks for joining us. We love the stories.
Well, I appreciate it. And listen, the best storyline of this Super Bowl is SHERMFightsForFreedom.org. Anthony Sherman, fullback for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's given away his truck. Anybody can get an opportunity to take home that man's truck, and he's one of the best guys on that team, one of the leaders. And if you go to that website, SHERMFightsForFreedom.org, you'll be supporting the fight against human trafficking and supporting our military. So cool little backstory on him. He's a North Attleboro, Massachusetts guy, and we wish him luck and love the fact that he's doing what he's doing.
Give me that address again.
Sherm Fights for Freedom. Anthony Sherman, his truck. Anybody can get an opportunity. It's a giveaway. There's also cool prizes because his teammates are jumping in. I hear great. That Pat Mahomes is jumping in on this too, but Kelsey's in. He's signing jerseys. We got country music artists, the whole nine, so it's a cool giveaway.
You're a good man, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you, Dan.
That's Matt Light, former Patriots offensive tackle. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Saw this where Barry Sanders tweeted this morning. He was excited to talk to his, quote, movie star friend, the Hall of Famer, Barry Sanders, joining us on the program. So you've seen my body of work, Barry.
Absolutely. Who hasn't?
How would you rate my acting ability?
Oh, see, come on now. Why would you want to put me on the spot like that, man? Why would you want to put me on the spot? We're on your show. How about two thumbs up?
Well, how many movies have you been in, Barry?
Ouch.
Okay.
Not very many. Not very. I think one.
What was the movie?
I think one. It was called Touchback, I believe.
Did you play yourself in Touchback?
I played, basically, I was on the sideline acting as a coach.
Okay.
You know, like an assistant coach on the sideline.
Wait, is this what I was doing. Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell, there you go. There you go. So you've seen it. You've seen it.
No, I haven't
seen my work.
No.
You've seen my work. No.
What do you think when you see your old game film? When you're watching highlights and you come on?
Oh, I mean, it just, you know what? It just kind of brings back memories of being young and being able to do that kind of cool stuff on the field and living out my dream. And really almost those kind of butterflies, you know, of actually playing the game and that sort of excitement you get while you're actually going through it in the middle of it. So it's pretty cool.
Can you teach your style of running?
That's a good question. I think to some, yes, you can teach it. To others, maybe not.
Who could I teach that to? How many guys had your ability to cut? I don't know how fast you were. I just know you had that ability to cut.
Absolutely. No, I think to the right individuals, I think you can teach it. But how many guys? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Dan, I watched the game as a kid, and I was imitating so many guys like Joe Washington and Greg Pruitt and Tony Dorsett, and OJ and Marcus Allen and guys like that. So I can't sit up here like I authored any of it.
Yeah, but Barry, your style was you had to run for your life behind that Lions offensive line. Like, that was your style.
No, hey, look, I think for me, yeah, it absolutely was my style. That's the way I had always run. I as a kid, that's the way I ran. You know, even when I didn't have the Lions offensive line, you know, so.
But
that's just the way I ran.
Take me back to when you played your last game, and I got a call from your agent, Peter Schaefer, and he said, hey, Barry's going to take a flight to London. Right?
Right. Right.
Okay. Did you know prior to the game that that was your last game and that you were going to take a flight to London as you ended your NFL career?
Well, no. At the time I retired, I didn't know I was going to take a flight to London, because the flight to London happened in, what, July or something like that, on the eve of training camp. And the last game would have been that December, I guess, of 98. I would think. And so, but I knew that season that was pretty much it. I knew, you know, I just knew that, you know what, I had played 10 great years and had a great run. Didn't really see a reason to, you know, continue, in the game. I knew that drive and, you know, that kind of thing, that pilot light, you know, that's always lit, that drives you. That drives that fire within. I just knew that was gone at year 10, and it was just time to move on. I mean, it's something that unless you've had that experience of where you know you have to make a change in life like that, maybe it doesn't sound very clear. But I just knew that and understood that, yes, it's time to move on.
Was there any part of you who didn't want to break Walter Payton's rushing record?
I don't know. I mean, That's a tough question to answer, because being a lifelong fan of NFL and Walter Payton and running backs, I understood what that meant. But I just knew that for me, you know, the game had just run its course, and I, you know, I didn't get it in the time that I played. You know, I got close enough, and it's, you know, it's always an honor to be mentioned with Walter. You know, you know, so yeah, that's kind of how I looked at it.
But I also wonder, you know, the Lions just said to Matthew Stafford, hey, we're going to let you, like, you pick where you want to go, or we're going to try to help you go someplace. I was wondering, if you were playing now with the Lions and they weren't winning and they had that, you know, maybe they would look at the same way and go, hey, you want to go to the Raiders? We're going to send you to the Raiders, or your favorite team, I think, back then. Do you think that's what the Lions were doing with Matthew Stafford, is basically saying, hey, we're not going anywhere. Here's our thank you to you. We're going to send you to the LA Rams.
Yeah, I mean, there apparently seem to be some of that. I think it's a different league now. I think, and you know, he's meant so much to the franchise. He's carried us for many, many years, and you know, so yeah. I mean, you know, whatever that conversation was, the two sort of came to an agreement that was the best thing for both parties. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, the details of the conversation. But what a blockbuster trade, man. I mean, wow. You know, and so, hey, look, hopefully it works out well for both. You know, we're getting a young man who's played a lot of, in some very big games in a short career. You know, and we'll see what happens. And
you're okay with the trade for the, if you're being a Lions fan?
I think we got a lot for it.
Okay.
I think we got a lot for it. I think, wow. I mean, you know, you look at the picks and things like that. Yeah, I think we came out pretty good, to this point. I think we can say that, yeah, we should feel pretty good about it.
He's Barry Sanders, a Hall of Famer, joining us. We'll get to what he's promoting here in a moment. Did you have any part in the Dan Campbell hire as head coach?
I wouldn't say I played a major role in it, but I was kind of involved in just the conversation with Chris Spielman and so forth. You know, so I knew that he was going to talk to Coach Campbell and some others.
He's kind of goofy, and, Barry.
Well, you know, I guess he's a great coach, a great coaching prospect. He's been around the game. I kind of enjoyed the press conference. You know, it was kind of entertaining. So you got to come in and entertain the fans a little bit, right? You know.
Well, you would hope the team would entertain him, Barry. But if the team doesn't do well, then Dan should be entertaining in those press conferences.
Well, I mean, you got to start off some way, and I think he left a good impression. I enjoyed it and got a few chuckles out of the press conference, and you need a few guys who's going to bite on some ankles and knees.
You would not have been his kind of player, Barrick. You're not biting any ankles or kneecaps.
Well, I don't know. I can't say as a defensive player, if I were on defense, I don't know. Personalities change a little bit here and there.
Would you have been a safety or a corner?
I become a different animal, Dan.
Really?
I become a different animal on defense.
Could you have been Deion Sanders?
No, I couldn't. I don't want to go that far. But no, I love playing defense. And, you know, of course, in my generation, most of us growing up playing the game, we played on both sides of the ball. You know, so I absolutely love playing defense. And I played varsity defense in high school before I played offense. I thought I was a pretty decent cornerback. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the tape, you know. But in my mind, I thought I was a pretty decent corner.
He's Barry Sanders, the Hall of Famer, and joining us on behalf of Rocket Mortgage, the Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes there. Do you want to let the audience know what they can win, how they can be involved? I want to hear you as a salesperson. Give me the sales pitch here, Barry.
No, absolutely. Dan, we're just trying to give fans watching the big game a chance to win a lot of cash, you know. And so the way it works is, you know, every score change during the game, touchdowns, field goals, extra points, fans will have a chance to win $50,000. Two lucky fans will win $500,000. So it's free to play. So just go to rocketmortgagesquares.com, learn more about it. It's going to be a terrific game. You got two quarterbacks that can set the scoreboard on fire. That'll bode well for Squares players. And we hope that Rocket Mortgage and Squares players, you know, win a lot of cash.
When's the last time you bet on a sporting event?
Oh, I don't know what, middle school maybe?
You were never interested in after you got out of football? You didn't gamble at all? Didn't bet on anything?
No, nothing. No, I never did. I mean, it was probably last time I bet was maybe in the Raiders Washington Super Bowl. What was that, 84, 83 or something like that?
That was when Marcus had his run?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So, but yeah, I've never been a big gambler in that way.
If I said you were a GM, you could start your team with any running back besides you.
Uh-huh.
Who are you going to start with?
Besides me, any running back who's ever played? Wow. I would probably go with Jim Brown. I would go with Jim Brown.
Well, I know your dad loved Jim Brown, but I don't know how Jim would do in today's game. Would Jim Brown be Derrick Henry?
I think he'd be Derrick Henry, honestly. That's kind of what I was thinking.
I can't imagine tackling Derrick Henry, Barry.
Oh, I know. I know. That's why I'm glad I stopped playing cornerback, you know, moved to running back, you know, trying to tackle guys. No, but Derrick, I think he's the closest thing to Jim Brown. You look at what he's done the last couple years, phenomenal year this year, going over 2,000 yards. I wouldn't be surprised to see him do it again. It'd be kind of cool to see the first guy able to do it twice. I've said this before. I think outside of Mahomes and maybe Rodgers, he's probably been the most dominant player in the game. He's been phenomenal. But I guess I would go with Jim because I think he probably dominated the game. He dominated the game like no other running back did or has when he played. And so got to give the nod to Mr. Brown. My dad taught me well.
Oh, I remember that. Gosh, he used to remind you all the time about you're no Jim Brown.
Hey, look, I mean, and to me, that's still a compliment, especially coming from my dad. You know?
It wasn't really a it was a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, coming from my dad, you know, that's like one of the nicest things he's ever said to me. So.
Why do you think he was so tough on you?
You know, I don't know that he was tough as much as just in his mind, he would say he was just preparing me and just honest. You know, that's how he felt. I mean, but the funny thing about the Jim Brown thing is that really all my life, long before I was like high school or college or any kind of Heisman Trophy, any of that, he just loved talking about Jim Brown, you know, just because, you know, I was interested in certain running backs when I was growing up, and he would that would give him, you know, the motivation to just start talking about Jim Brown and how great he was and how, you know, none of the current running backs could stand up to Jim Brown, you know. So he was just so I don't even know if it was about, you know, the fact that I ended up being a running back just other than or just he loved Jim Brown and that was his guy, you know. So that's kind of how that was.
Did you ever get hit where it really hurt? Like, I don't remember you taking on tacklers the way other running, you avoided it. But did you ever get hit, like, get your bell rung or get really banged up one time by a defender?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think my first start, I remember, was in the Meadowlands, and I got the wind knocked out of me. And I don't even remember who it was. But even, you know, so that's probably the one time where I probably had to come out of the game. But I think because of adrenaline and, you know, because you're in the heat of the moment, it happens often, but you don't notice it. At least that, for me anyways, that was my personal experience. It happened. It certainly happened after that. But that's the one that I remember probably the most.
Well, it's good to see you. Looks like you could probably give me a couple of carries in a game.
Oh, I'd love to, man. I'd love to. No, it's great. It's great being here, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, Barry Sanders is coming back, I think. You want to help Jared Goff? Are you coming back for the Lions? Is that what you're announcing? You want to play again, Barry?
You mean on the field?
Yeah.
Like running back?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that rumor, but
let's start.
I'm gonna have to check into that. I have to check into that.
Are you saying you're open to it, Barry?
I doubt it.
It's great to connect with you again. Hope you're doing well. Probably playing a lot of golf, not doing anything else, right?
I'm playing a little golf. You know, just taking it easy. I mean, it's COVID, man. So what? You know, how much can you do? But just taking it easy, trying to stay safe, and appreciate your time, man. And good luck to all the Squares player out there. Go to rocketmortgagesquares.com, find out more about it.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Barry.
All right, Dan. Appreciate it, man.
That's Barry Sanders, Hall of Famer.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
When it comes to odds, Danny Sheridan, USA Today handicapper, sports analyst. Last year, I figured out that Danny was picking the Kansas City Chiefs. I asked him before the Super Bowl, but he couldn't do it because he didn't want to release his picks to his clients until game day. And I understand it, but great minds think alike. And Danny Sheridan joins us. You almost lost it, but you did get the win for your clients. Danny, good to talk to you again.
Likewise, and Dan, before I forget, I want to congratulate you and the dazzling Danettes on being named by Barrett Sports Media as the number two most popular national sports radio show in the United States. And hopefully next year at this time, they'll name you number one.
Well, thank you, Danny. You know, I would rather be number three than number two.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Yeah, because it's like on Monday, if you say to Tom Brady after he's lost and you go, hey, second best quarterback this weekend. I mean, that's sort of the feeling that I get. I don't want to be runner up. I'd rather be third than second there.
Okay.
All right, if that makes any sense. All right. So you can't tell me who you're going to take this weekend. I realize that. And you've always told me, don't worry about the point spread. Right.
Oh, no. If you just pick the winner, you will have beaten the spread 88% of the time. 57%, Dan, against the spread is considered excellent. The winner of this game has beaten the spread 45 times and lost six. The last team to win the Super Bowl and not beat the spread was Pittsburgh against Arizona. They won by four in 2009, and I want to point out that Pittsburgh scored with 45 seconds to go to beat Arizona, but that was the last time, 2009. So just pick the winner, and again, it's not a big spread, and you have the odds in your favor, and that's what I always try to do. Just pick the winner, ignore the spread, and you should be right.
But if you're picking, have you ever picked the player? Like, I would never bet against Brady. I wouldn't bet if it meant betting against Brady. But is that sound logic at all when you look at a player and you go, I can't bet against him, or I am going to take him because of that player, not that team?
Well, it might be to some people, and I can't disagree. It's not to me. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, I was thinking about Green Bay and Tampa Bay. I wasn't thinking of, I mean, that's important. Obviously, if Patrick Mahomes didn't play, I would want no part of Kansas City. But some people count it. I don't weigh it in my with my dartboard. And by the way, I give my pick on Sunday. I actually make up my mind on Sunday for the total and for the game, and that's when I give it to my clients. And one of the reasons you'd obviously wait till Sunday is on the total is because it could rain in Tampa. Hopefully it won't. I don't have a theory for if it rains.
So you're going to take the over in Kansas City because you're thinking that it's not going to rain, is my guess.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that in the article I mentioned, if you have two potent offenses, and I'm going to ask you this question, potent offenses, you go under. I know that sounds contrarian, but it happens. That's the way I handicap it. Two defensive stalwarts, you go over. A good example would be last year, Kansas City and San Francisco, great offenses. They scored 86 and 64 points, respectively, in their playoffs. They went under. The year before, you had the Tom Brady. You had the New England. I'm trying to think who was playing that. It was New England and the Rams.
Yeah.
Two top scoring teams in the conference the whole year. Guess what? 13-3. So my question to you would be, and I will question a bunch of sports guys and say, hey, when you think of Kansas City, do you think of offense or defense? They'll tell me offense. I'll accept that. So my question to you, Dan, is when you think of Tampa Bay, do you think of offense, defense, or pretty much neutral, balanced?
Defense.
Okay, then I wouldn't be able to pick the total if that were the case. That's interesting. And that may be the case if I find out, or if I make the when I talk to all these sports writers, if they tell me what you just said, I will not pick the total going in. If they say offense, I'm going under. If they say defense and I believe them, I'm going over.
Paulie, what is the weather forecast for Tampa?
High of 70 on Super Bowl Sunday. Rain for sure in the morning. Overcast with rain showers at times. High tide 4:15 p.m.
Wow.
Does it matter if you jump in on the line was 3.5, and now I think it's down to 3.
Right.
It feels like a lot of there's a lot of Kansas City money here. But the instant reaction, see, that doesn't factor into you because you said it, you know, just pick who you think's going to win. Don't worry about the point spread.
I agree. I don't worry about that. I just pick who I think. In this case, it's safe to say if Tampa Bay covers, they should win. You're talking 3 points. And vice versa, obviously. If Kansas City wins, they should cover more than 3 points.
And any other tips that you would give for people for entertainment purposes only this Sunday?
Well, there's so many, Dan. I hope they'll read the article in USA Today. But the key, there's so many. For example, prop bets. People love to bet the coin flip. Will Brady throw 520 touchdowns, 50 passes, whatever? Will the rushing guy do this? Bottom line is, if you bet prop bets, which probably in the total handle, prop bets are more than any other bet, more than just betting the game or betting the total. But I'm against prop bets. The public has won prop bets 2 times from the bookmakers in the last 25 years. That pretty much tells me you probably shouldn't be betting prop bets. But that's one of the things. You shouldn't bet parlays. That's insanity because of the odds. And you shouldn't bet teasers. Just the name connotes teasers. My God, what is that? Before I forget, Paul Peps, right? He works with you, right?
Yeah, Paulie's my producer.
Integral part of that team.
Yes.
Is he like one of the heirs to the Pats Blue Ribbon? I'm serious. Just an unusual name.
No, I wish he was, but he's not.
I meant to ask you that last year because you kept saying that. And yeah. Plus, he asked me, he said, if you'll mention that on the air, I'll send you $25. I said, I'll definitely do it.
Wow. Anyway, wow. Well, all of my guys, their last names have to do with alcohol. So,
well, that's what working with you will do, Dan. I remember you from the 80s when you were in your wild 20s.
Easy there, Danny.
That's right.
You had the over-under on me in my 20s, would you have taken the over?
Over to be successful, yes, but to be as successful as you've been, I got to remember, I'm looking at you, a wild hellion in your 20s at CNN Sports with me, and no, I probably wouldn't have gone over. Very talented, but listen, you would have never dreamed you would have accomplished what you did. I think that's a safe statement, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you, Danny.
And you didn't have it given to you. You didn't inherit the Pabst Blue Ribbon beer franchise.
Well, Todd's last name is Schlitz, so it's Todd Schlitz.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then it's Paulie Pabst. McLovin?
Smirnoff, Perloff.
Yes.
We're not sure. We changed the name at Ellis Island. I think it was Smirnoff.
Seton, your last name?
First name Seton, middle name Bud, last name Weiser.
Yes.
True story.
Yeah, so everybody that I hired had something to do with alcohol in their name.
That would explain why your show is so popular.
Well, we drink all day. I think that's the reason why. Hey, it's great to talk to you, Danny. And people can get these tips from Danny. He does it every year. And you can go to USA Today, and he'll help you out coming up this weekend. Hope you're doing well, and thanks for reaching out, Danny.
Appreciate you having me on, Dan. Stay well and continued success.
That's Danny Sheridan. You can check out his Super Bowl betting tips in USA Today's special edition Super Bowl 55 preview. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
I got my friends and family all blowing up my phone. My kids think I've gone crazy as I'm running around my home. Well, I heard Dan Patrick wanted me to call into his show. Well, the Chiefs must have won the AFC and we're headed to the Super Bowl. When I was just a little girl upon my daddy's knee, I remember it like yesterday. It was 1970. Oh, the Chiefs had Lenny Dawson, then Buck Buchanan and Bobby Bell. Oh, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. I heard my daddy yell. Well, 50 years they came and went, and sometimes we got close. Gonzalez never got to go, Jamal nor the great Priest Holmes. So many times it broke my heart, thought I might never know. But the Chiefs just broke that playoff curse, and now they're headed to the Super Bowl.
That was a year ago when Melissa Etheridge gave us Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. I think that was a big hit, and she joins us now. You're getting spoiled with your Kansas City Chiefs there, Melissa.
I got to tell you, it's a great feeling. It's something I've never felt before, and indeed.
Look at this setup here. Now, describe it for the audience that's only listening on radio. Those who are watching on Peacock, they can see. Is this your studio?
Yes, this is our streaming studio when the world went upside down last year. And I realized that I wouldn't be able to have live performances for quite a while. My wife and I came back into our garage and we transformed it into a streaming studio where we stream Etheridge TV 5 days a week.
You got a couple of cameras working there. This isn't just, I mean, this is some serious.
I have more cameras than you do, I think.
No. I lead the league in cameras. You have more guitars than I have, but I think I have about 14 cameras in here. Everything's on TV. Okay, so you got posters back there. You got the lighting.
I went to my warehouse, pulled some stuff out.
Looks great. The coolest piece of memorabilia you have in there is what?
Well, probably, I've pulled it up here, probably this.
Kansas City Chiefs
it's
helmet?
Like a 2000 Chiefs autographed helmet. I've got Derek Thomas on.
What about music?
What's that?
What about music? Your favorite piece of music? I always love the one where your guitar is over your back.
Oh, yeah. My shirtless. Yeah, that's probably it's my homage to Bruce guitar slung over my back poster. Yeah, that's probably it.
Although Bruce didn't have his shirt off when he did it.
Nope, that's where I went, wait a minute, I'm going to actually take my shirt off. I have to go one step further.
What if Tom Brady said, you know what, Giselle and I, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. Melissa, would you play at our anniversary? Would you indulge your, you know, that wish? The, you know, because you probably might be anti-Brady being a Chiefs fan.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm able to have the spirit of a sports fan and you know, say, darn that Brady. How many times has he kept us from the playoffs? How many times is he, you know, and everything. Yet I am a person and I have great respect for a great athlete. So, you know, I respect the man.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd go to his party, but I respect the man.
But if Mahomes said that, hey, would you play at my wedding?
Oh, I'm there. I'm there. I'll play all kinds of wedding songs. I can play wedding receptions. Absolutely.
Okay. So we ask, I don't know if we formally ask you to come up with a new song, but I'm hopeful you do have a new song for us.
Well, I happen to be standing here with my guitar.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny because I actually hope every year that I get to bring a song to you because it means that my Chiefs have done very well. And, you know, it's funny because I sat down to, you know, just, you know, whip something up because it's always fun. And especially about football and football songs can be strange. But I actually looked at this whole year and thought this whole year was strange. So I wanted to kind of put my thoughts and everything together. And it's actually a song thanking football. It's called Football Thank You.
Okay.
All right.
Here is
ready for it?
Melissa Etheridge, the Grammy Academy Award winner, singer-songwriter, and diehard Chiefs fan.
2020 was hard. 2020 was strange. Well, the Chiefs were the champs, and then everything changed. Well, my heart grew heavy. Days were fearful and dark. Would football even happen? The future was stark. But the men and women of the NFL, how they found a way. The stands would be empty, but still they would play. And I'd like to thank the NFL, especially my Chiefs. You gave me something to smile about. Yeah, you saved my sanity. Well, I know it's just a game, but it really pulled me through. So I just want to thank you. Football, thank you. Well, they played on through December, each team that gave their best. The Jets and the Jags kind of came up short, and NFC East was just a mess, you know. The Packers had the MVP, and the Browns surprised us all. The Bills almost went all the way. Man, that's good football. I'd like to thank the NFL, especially my Chiefs. Yeah, you gave me something to smile about. You saved my sanity. Well, I know it's just a game, but it really pulled me through. So I just want to thank you now, football. Thank you. Oh, now Brady as a Buccaneer, well, he deserves all my respect. He brought them to the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's a GOAT. And yet... Well, I'll take my defense any day with Tyron, Chris, and Spags. My Chiefs have proved it all year long that they can run it back. With Andy's plays and Kelce saves when Tyreek leaves them scorched. In the end, when Brady meets Mahomes, well, it's time to pass the torch. Oh, I'd like to thank the NFL, especially my team. You gave me something to smile about. Yeah, you saved my sanity. I know it's just a game, but it really pulled me through. So I just want to thank you, football. Thank you.
Oh, you're adorable. Thank you.
It's time to pass the torch.
That's great. I love that. And the NFC East line was great, too. Yeah. What is your go-to Springsteen song?
Oh, that's probably Jungle Land or anything off Born to Run.
Have you played that during your shows?
You know, I did a Springsteen cover day on Tuesday. I do covers.
Yeah.
And today is Southern Rock covers, just letting you know. But I have done, I don't think I did Jungle Land. No, I haven't actually sang it. It's like a mini rock opera, you know.
But do you know Bruce?
I do know Bruce. He in 1994, he came and sang on my MTV Unplugged. We sang Thunder Road together. It was like a highlight of my life.
How intimidating is that?
You know, he's not. He is just as personable and just a New Jersey guy. He's really, really a very nice guy. And just I just love him very much.
But I would think Growing Up would be a great song for you. My favorite, I love Growing Up. I love She's the One. And
oh, yeah.
But there's so many songs to love about Bruce. But and not that I could cover any of those, but I just, those are always songs that resonated with me for some reason.
They make their our history of rock, you know. It's a big part of the American life, I think.
But have you ever run into that rock star that they acted like a rock star and it wasn't a good?
It's funny, I ran into a few of them in the 80s and 90s, and I don't know where they are now. So that's usually kind of what happens.
It's great to talk to you. I know it's certainly been a difficult year for you in a variety of ways, and I hope that Etheridge TV, the Etheridge Foundation, tell us more about what you're doing with your TV show.
Well, on if you go to etheridgetv.com, you can buy a ticket to each separate show, or you can get a monthly subscription for $50. And what you get is 5 shows a week. You get Tuesday cover songs. Wednesday, I do a chat show with my wife where we talk about the world and bring some laughter into everything. Thursday is called Mama's Choice, which is deep cuts of album tracks and things that are rarely heard. And Friday is we actually go, I've got some like old bootlegs that I show everybody, and we talk. It's called the Friday Night Time Machine. And then Saturday is like a full-on concert where I do the hits and
great.
We just play. And it keeps me sane by, you know, being able to make music, and it pays the bills.
And what are you going to be doing on Super Bowl Sunday?
I will be sitting in my chair with a vat of guacamole, and I will be nervously eating and cheering on. Oh God, I love wearing the Super Bowl again. It's really exciting.
Doesn't that sound like a country song? Sitting in my chair with a vat of guacamole.
Indeed.
I'm in.
Indeed.
Maybe George Strait could do something like that.
Absolutely, you could find something to rhyme with.
There's certain artists, though, Melissa, that it feels like they could, like, didn't the Beatles prove you could sing about anything? Like an octopus's garden, Taxman, yeah. Like just so many crazy things. They prove that it doesn't matter what the lyrics are, they could sell it.
If you feel it, I am the walrus, cuckoo, cuckoo. You know,
I know.
Okay.
Kind of crazy.
I'm singing it, yes.
EtheridgeTV.com. And thank you again, Melissa. It's great to see you. And good luck to your Chiefs coming up this weekend. And if you want to maybe pre-record a Chiefs song, I don't know, next week, next month, or something like that, for the following Super Bowl.
Oh, come on.
Like, you can
no,
be
you
that.
Gotta, you got to be in the moment.
Oh, okay.
You got to know what's
okay.
happening.
All right, all right. I just thought maybe you wanted to pre-record something, take a little pressure off you there. But
maybe it would be called Dynasty, perhaps.
Whoa. Okay.
I like it.
Good luck this weekend, and thank you again.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan. Much love to all your folks there.
That's Melissa Etheridge.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.